I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to I've Decided radio show this Sunday morning. I'm Kim Martin and one of the hosts of your show today. That's right. I said one of the hosts. In keeping up with what we preach, we want to practice what we preach. It is a new year, so it is time for new things, new ideas, new goals, and we have our goals for 2018 as well for the radio show, and I am super excited to let you in on those goals today. And one of them is that we are adding another host to our I've Decided radio show beginning right now today. And I am so excited to introduce you to none other than
Coach Mark.
Yay, Coach Mark Dobler.
Hi, Kim. It's good to be participating in this. We have been a part of I've Decided for several years now. And so I'm looking forward to being a part of the radio show. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to utilize the business members that we have of I've Decided, who are great, but we want to help turn their expertise toward content in this radio program that you can use. So today, if you'll stick around for the next 25 or 30 minutes, here's what we're going to talk about, and here's some of the things that you're going to learn. Chances are probably pretty good that if you were at the conference yesterday, or whether even if you weren't at the conference yesterday, you probably made some goals and some decisions about what you wanted 2018 to be, what you wanted to accomplish. In the next 25 minutes or so, we're going to talk briefly about what happens to those. Why do so many people fall off the wagon of those goals? Why don't they accomplish them? We know that only 8% of the people, by statistical research, actually accomplish their goals. Why is it a 92% drop-off rate? And we're gonna talk about that. And then if you're one of those 92 percenters, how do you become the 8%? How do you become one of those people that actually follow through all the way to the completion of your goal? We're gonna answer those questions. And we've got one of our business members is Melissa Smith from Cadence 22. Melissa, we are so glad to have you here this morning. It's going to be a great time together, and we're going to answer a lot of questions.
Thank you for having me, Kim and Mark. I am so excited to be here and share some of what I get to work with my clients about and help set people up for success in 2018, and I just am really grateful to be here. Thank you.
You are welcome. We are happy to have you. Well, you know, you're the name of your business, we were just talking before the show, Cadence 22. I love that word, Cadence. And that doesn't that just kind of have that feel like you got to have that focus, that cadence, that path, your mission?
Yep.
Explain that name a little bit
okay.
for us.
So the word cadence came from really just a lot of areas in my life when I got to the point where I wanted to name my business and really resonate through to people. The word just kept coming up and again. It is easy to miss that everybody has an underlying cadence. You have what you do every day, and coming from a military background and a huge football family, cadence is really important in both of those aspects. So in the military, they will have huge runs where the whole purpose is to get a massive group of people from point A to point B essentially at the same time from all different skill levels. And there's one way to do that, and it's with a cadence.
Exactly.
So,
I don't know, but I've been told. Been there, done that.
That's right. And the beauty of cadence is once you establish your cadence and you recognize your cadence, when you fall out of cadence, it's not a matter of starting back over. It's simply a matter of picking yourself back up and getting back into your cadence. If you don't ever know that cadence, then it's a little trickier and you might feel like you're constantly starting over again and again and again, when in all actuality, you've been moving forward the whole time. On a football field, cadence is really important. It's how you get the whole line to move at the exact same time so that they can get that one little ball in the end zone. So in so many aspects of our life, that underlying cadence is there. It's beating, it's moving along, and just recognizing that we're all going to fall out of cadence all you have to do is just recognize it and step back into cadence and keep moving forward.
So I like that, because you do have to recognize that you're gonna miss a step. Yep. I remember when I was in the Army, it did happen. You could be calling cadence, and you could mess up calling cadence.
Absolutely.
You could be in the formation and you could miss the cadence. And so you don't just quit.
No, that's not an option.
No, it's not an option. If you decide to quit, that's not going to go well.
No. Nope.
But you learn quickly in the military, it is not an option.
No. Nope.
And so you learn how to kind of pick back up with where you dropped off.
Absolutely.
And part of the problem that we want to address today is how often people fall out of this cadence, this rhythm that they've committed to for an upcoming year to accomplish a goal, to accomplish an objective. And when they have that misstep, all of a sudden, it's all gone.
Right. The world is over. The world has come to an end when really, whether you like it or not, it's going to keep going.
So I like to say disappointment is not disaster.
No.
And well, I like
And we treat disappointments like disaster.
Correct.
So if you have a goal and you make a mistake, instead of... I love that analogy that you guys use with the military and the football. Such a great analogy. If you fall down, if you make a mistake, you don't throw in the towel. You know, you don't say, well, I quit. I can't do it.
Yep, the military, if you fall out of step on a run, you don't just walk off to the side and let the rest of the group pass you by. You simply fall back into step.
You fall back into step. So when you make that mistake, it's simply a disappointment. It is a mistake. Call it for what it is. Right. A mistake. You made a mistake. For a moment, you forgot what your goals were. Mm-hmm. For a moment, you forgot who you are, whatever it is, and you made that mistake. But you remember, you get up, you pick back up, and you get right back going again. That is so important to make sure that you stay on track for fulfilling your goals.
Yeah, and you never know how that's going to end as long as you stay committed to attempting to accomplish your objective or goal. Last Sunday, for example, I'm a big football fan, and I'm an ex-Army guy. So there was a playoff game between the New Orleans Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. And the Saints were behind the whole game. They made a comeback. They get ahead with a minute or so to play in the game, and it looks like they're going to win the game. And the Vikings have no timeouts left, and there's 10 seconds. The clock is running, and there's no chance in the world that they are going to be able to pull this off and win the game. Lo and behold, a miracle happens. It's a 61-yard pass for a touchdown on the last play of the game, and they win. They're calling it the miracle in Minneapolis. But we need to understand how to have those miracles in our own life every day, because what happens for so many people... at our conference yesterday, lots of people made some commitments. People in January 1st made some commitments. And they're going to hit hardship. They're going to hit moments where they're out of cadence. And if they just give up, they will not win the game. So, Melissa, what are some of the reasons why people fall out of cadence? What are some of the... Because our listeners need to understand that when certain things happen, this is normal.
Right. So I've worked with so many business owners, and not to discredit anybody's story or take away from anybody's story, but we're all alike and are in the same respect. All the story sounds the same. So there's three main reasons why people fall off. They fall out of cadence for lack of accountability. There's just being a business owner. I met with a dear friend of Kim and ours, Mary Ardeppel, this morning, and she said, you know, being a business owner, you have this public persona that you put on, but at the back end, it's a little lonely sometimes. We might feel like we're the only ones in the trenches. And an aspect of that is there's not very much accountability. If you don't do something, nobody's going to come and knock on your door and say, hey, you didn't do what was on your list yesterday. What happened? So there's little accountability. Your efforts are just not moving you forward. That's another reason why people fall off. They say, I'm trying, and they feel like they're not moving forward. And so why even continue to try? And a third reason that a lot of people fall off is they really have no idea where they're going to begin with. They just haven't defined that personal sense of purpose or their vision, that overarching vision that just, it gets you going in the morning, it fires you up, it fills you with passion. A lot of people just forget that that's really important to keep your eye on the ball.
That is so true. I just think we lose that focus. We start out, I think I just posted this on my Kim Martin Motivates page, and that is consistency outwins intensity every time.
Absolutely.
Oh, I could not agree more.
Absolutely.
And yet we have these moments where we want to be incredibly intense, and that's when we feel like we've accomplished something. We have to retrain our thinking that it's not about those moments of intensity. It's about the commitment to consistency.
Stay the course. So long-term objectives is something that I coach my clients with to establish that long-term objective, have your vision, fulfill your mission, follow your purpose. We were all created for a very specific reason. And having that long-term objective, you can do that at any time, but we find that people tend to want to do it at the beginning of the year, and that's a great time. You want to have measurable results throughout the year. And while it may seem a bit overwhelming, it's really not. It can be simple. It can be broken down into two easy steps, really. However, that said, I'm not one to mislead people in my coaching. I don't want anybody to mistake simple for easy.
Oh, that's deep. That's deep. And so true to understand the distinction between those two. In fact, simple sometimes can be the hardest thing to do.
Absolutely. Being able to block out the distractions, stay focused, keep moving forward, even if it's not the progress that you expect, as long as you're consistently anticipating progress, you're headed in the right direction.
I like that.
I love that too. And so I need to understand though. Help me, give me an example of what you mean by don't confuse simple with easy.
So we've heard it and we all do it at one point or another. It might be on a day-to-day basis. It might be on a monthly basis, an annual basis, but you have to set a goal. There has to be an end target. So by setting a goal, you know what direction you're heading. You know that your most valuable resource, the resource of time, the one thing you can never get back, is being spent moving you in the direction of your ultimate goals. Now, everybody's goals are unique to themselves and they're personal, and they very well should be. If you are infusing your passion into what you do and following your purpose, your goals should be very, very intimate to you. By setting those goals, it's simple to write down the goals. It's not necessarily going to be easy to accomplish them.
Yeah, and that's a great illustration. And I think at some point we should probably have a program or an episode purely on the idea of how to really set goals, because there's so much to that, and it really does, I think, fit the criteria of describing simple does not necessarily mean easy. That's not the same thing. There's a story I'm familiar with, and right now I can't remember the name of the person involved. But the story happened off the coast of California, and there was a swimmer, an open ocean swimmer, that wanted to swim from Catalina Island to the mainland of California. And it was a long-term goal, something that they'd always wanted to do. And the morning came for the swim, and they got in the water, started swimming. I forget exactly. It's like 25 or 30 miles, which is insanity to me. But nevertheless, this was their goal.
That was their goal.
It was their goal. And so they started. And like you said, sometimes it doesn't feel like you're making much progress. I got to think that swimming in open ocean water cannot possibly feel like you're making much progress. But then on top of that, it was a very foggy day, which I've experienced in California when I was stationed out there. Is a very foggy day. And after hours and hours and hours in the water, at no point could she see the target. She knew what the goal was, but she couldn't see it. And at some point, she became so frustrated and so disillusioned that she gave up. And she was only about 2 miles off of the shore when she quit. But it was, she had a goal, but it wasn't a goal that she could see.
Right.
And so I think that is really part and parcel of people finding success, becoming those 8%ers.
Yes. My mission and what I'm working with the people that I'm coaching is mastering change one behavior at a time.
Absolutely, and that's
and
so important.
So it's taking that big goal, that massive goal that you have, whatever it is, and now let's bring it all the way down to what's the first thing that you need to change in order to start moving in that direction.
But that's a lot harder.
It is.
That's what you mean, though, right?
Right,
it's
that's
so
what
easy,
I mean.
It's so easy to say, you know, well, I want to have a national conference. That's my goal, to have this national conference, to get everybody, to get those 98%, the 92%ers out there turned around so that they're successful, right?
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra. So I want to have this not just Peoria and area, but a worldwide global movement of getting people on track for success. That's the big Mac Daddy goal. Well, that all sounds great.
Yes, it does.
But then there has to be those small things that have to happen in order to do that. So you have to come all the way back down to say, okay, well, I'm going to first need some business members who see this value and want to do this with me, because I can't do it by myself. So that's the first step to the big goal.
And that's why it's important. I coach clients. I know a lot of your listeners will probably be familiar with the term, but your goals have to be SMART. They have to be defined and measurable, and they need to be realistic. So if you aim high, which you should, we all have purpose within us that allows us to do much more than we probably ever realized, but they need to be realistic in such a way that you can accomplish the things leading up to it. So if one of your goals is to swim, that's a great goal, swim across the ocean, that's fine. Leading up to that goal, though, first you need to make sure that you know how to swim, right?
So that comes in handy.
Right. So,
but it's
there,
so true.
There are things leading up to, so it needs to be realistic. If you've never even put a big toe in a swimming pool before, I'm not saying you can't swim across the ocean. I'm just saying you're going to have to break that down into manageable tasks, into smaller chunks, and have it be consumable nuggets of accomplishment for you to be able to reach that goal.
Well, and you know, even if somebody has been a swimmer, swimming in a pool is a far different experience than swimming in the ocean.
It's like running on a treadmill versus outside.
Right. So sometimes we think we know what we're doing, and so we skip steps.
Right.
That really prepare us to accomplish what we said we want to, because we thought we were already there.
That's right. So that comes in step two. So step one is identifying that goal and making it SMART. Got to be accepted. It's got to be reasonable. It has to be relatable to the knowledge and skills that you attain, or your willingness to go out and attain those knowledge and skills. And it has to be time-bound. Goals have to have a beginning point and an end point. You have to have a point where you can say, I've reached my goal, or I have made measurable progress towards my goal, or I didn't reach my goal. I still want to reach my goal. I have this much I need to accomplish in order to reach that goal. It's still achievable. It's still realistic. I still accept the challenge, and I still am being very specific and very intentional about how I'm spending my time. So those goals have to be SMART. The simple part is identifying the goal. Nowhere in there does it say it's going to be easy to accomplish that goal. So differentiating between simple and easy, and understanding that if you're going to set a goal and you're going to go after it, accept the challenge that comes along with it.
Now, you know, that's an interesting point, and it raised a kind of a curiosity in my mind when you were speaking of that. In your experience, and I'm going to relate this to a different sort of paradigm, but I'm going to see if it carries over to what you're talking about. Probably many of our listeners, although not all, are familiar with a guy by the name of Dave Ramsey. Mm. And Dave Ramsey talks about kind of getting out of debt and dealing, you know, beating that debt mountain down to something that you can manage. And one of the things that he says is that when you look at all of your different debt piles, if you will, the largest one always seems to be the one that you want to knock out first because it's the biggest.
Yep.
But he says, no, don't do that.
Nope.
Do the smallest ones, because in doing those, you build momentum, and he calls it the snowball effect.
Yep.
And so in terms of working toward and accomplishing your goals, do you have a similar mindset to that?
I do. I always encourage the people that I work with, so you have to have that vision and understand what your purpose is and how you can infuse what you're most passionate about in through using your God-given gifts to fulfill your purpose. In doing that, you set those goals, but then annual goals, long-term goals, then need to be broken down. They need to be broken down even smaller into quarterly goals. And then from quarterly goals, even break it down further into a monthly goal. From monthly goals, you go to weekly or biweekly tasks, and then daily or weekly to-dos. So it's just those little tiny steps. The rule of three never fails. If you can wake up every day and accomplish three things, what three things would carry you forward just a little bit towards that overall vision? So it's simple, but it's not easy. Staying on task is not always easy. And that is where it comes. It's so important to make sure that you're spending your time with like-minded people, people who support you in your visions and goals, and making sure that you're communicating. I know, Kim, you have the DECIDE method that you use for your coaching, and declaring it is absolutely imperative. Now, do I suggest going and standing on a mountaintop and screaming it?
Ricola.
You could. You could, but how is that going to really give you the benefit?
Right. So you want to share it with those people that you're closest with that believe in you and that know what you're made of. They know that grit and that heart that's way down deep inside of you. And you want to surround yourself with those people, those like-minded people, the networking groups that build you up and make you, give you that positive energy that you need, keep you accountable, ask questions, meaningful questions about your business. And you want to set those little baby steps up, set yourself up for success every day, understanding that one day you're going to wake up and you are not going to get a darn thing done that you had on your list. Guess what you just did? You fell out of step, and that's okay. You wake up the next day or you eat pizza for lunch and then you decide, you know what? I'm going to knock it out this afternoon. And you step right back into your cadence, because like it or not, that cadence is going to move forward without you.
That is so true. I have to make a point too, when it comes to finding your tribe. When you were talking about those people that build you up and are there to support you and give you that accountability, I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make, and why so many people are not successful in achieving their goals, is they use their feelings to drive their goal, their car, if you will. They use their feelings to make decisions. So it's very important that you recognize that you're those people that make you feel all great and fun and exciting and warm and fuzzy. That's not a bad thing, but those might not be the people that are going to get you to your goal, to help you, drive you to your goal. You might have to hear the truth sometimes.
Yep.
And so I think what happens is, you know, here's just a perfect example. Most everyone who knows me knows that I'm in my second marriage. My husband and I both are in our second marriage. And when I went through my divorce, I didn't want to hang around with people who were telling me the truth, what I needed to hear, right? I didn't want to hear that. What I wanted to do was hang around with people who were making me feel good about the decision that I was making.
Right.
And so maybe if you're listening, that could be you. You really need to think about who your tribe is.
Yep.
You might be going to coffee with a group of people thinking, this is my tribe. They make me feel great. I just leave here feeling so good about myself. But you need to stop and ask yourself, are you really seeing the result that you're looking for? Are you just feeling good? Or are you getting a result?
Those aha moments that they're giving you, they're sharing perspective, they're sharing insight, and they have the same drive, or if not the same, a similar drive to accomplish their own goals and help you succeed also. It's really important. You're right.
Yeah, and I think when you're considering the people that you're hanging around, and we've already, all of us have a built-in network of friends. Most of our friends want the best for us, but rarely do they want to push us.
Right, yep.
And so When we talk about accountability toward achieving goals, chances are probably pretty good that it's not one of your dear good friends that is going to hold you to that goal.
And absolutely. They mean well.
They
I don't mean,
well.
Mean to cut in there, but yeah. They mean well. They care about you, but they're gonna say to you,
"It's okay."
Yeah, it's okay. You poor thing. It's so hard.
That's
it's,
where a business coach comes
right?
in, my friend.
your friends generally, or even your family, are gonna say, "Oh, you work so hard. It's okay for you to take a
and
break
it is
this
okay.
week." And
yeah,
and it is okay sometimes, but you need that person that's gonna push you, that's gonna pull out of you your. What you're capable of.
I tell my clients that I coach when they don't get their things done, it's okay. It doesn't mean you don't get to not do it. Like, it's right. still on the list, but it's okay that you didn't do it. We still have to get it done. How are we going to do it? Or why was it on the list to begin with? Does it move you forward towards your overall objective?
Yeah, right? I just realized that the three of us, this is a great show. I'm loving this. I'm learning, but we're all coaches in yep. our own right, which is really interesting. And Coach Mark, you know, you define yourself as a coach. You're the head pastor at a Second Chance Church.
Right.
But your tribe, your church, your community, they call you Coach Mark. We all call you Coach Mark. Help us understand that concept of a coach.
Well, part of the reason that I decided to utilize that label rather than simply pastor is I think for pastors in general, but this is probably true of anybody in a leadership role, especially when you're an entrepreneurial type person, it's very easy to fall into the mindset of I'm the one who's supposed to do it all. And it's also easy for everybody else in that organization, and especially in the church world, to look at that person, that role, they are the person who's supposed to do it all. But a coach, no one expects the coach to do it all. Nobody yeah. expects the coach to play every position. Nobody expects the coach to do all the other stuff. The coach is there to organize it.
And the coach meets you where you're at.
And to inspire it, right?
Yep.
And to teach to reach the best level of performance that each one of those people are capable of.
Absolutely.
And so the term coach, I mean, most people understand that. It's a fairly concrete idea in most people's minds. And I think we all need that regardless of what endeavor we're in. We need somebody to come along and coach us toward our maximum potential. And I don't care who you are and I don't care what role you're in. And usually, not always, but usually that person is not in your circle of your best friends.
Yep. That's right. Because you need that objective perspective too. So a coach can watch from the sidelines and give you an objective perspective because they're not necessarily so emotionally attached to you that they're worried about hurting your feelings or if they're going to be a little too brusque. I mean, I've had clients say, you're a little rough around the edges. And then I've had someone else say, it served you well.
I said, that's you that know, military background.
That my response to that is they didn't create steel wool because they didn't need it. Right?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So, I know. That's true. That's true. You got to scuff off the things,
that's
right?
That's right.
And so you need that honest feedback. That's what,
yep.
And that's the point, too. So you got to make sure when you are finding that tribe, those people who are headed in the direction that you are finding those people that are going to hold you to what you say you're going to do.
Right.
And call you out when they see you not doing it.
Yeah, it's the only way you become part of the 8%.
That's true.
And that's what we want for our listeners. Because our listeners, many of them were at the conference yesterday, and then some who weren't. But it's still early in the year, and the possibilities of what 2018 can be are still out there in front of us.
They're limitless. I mean, the possibilities really are limitless. And beyond identifying your goals and making sure that they're smart, step two, like we said before, it's simple, not easy, is to implement the plan. And how do you do that? You research the requirements that you need to attain your goals, to achieve your vision and your mission. And no one's going to make that plan for you. You have to sit down, and whether you're scratching it out on a jotter or a notebook, or, you know, you go and you buy the 52 Lists book at Barnes & Noble and you've got a beautiful new notebook. You put your desires into action. You get the training you need, make the arrangements, you declare that vision, and you just make that movement forward. Three steps at a time. set yourself 3 daily goals and accomplish those goals. And if you don't, carry them over to the next day and get that accountability and surround yourself.
And
that's right.
Going. And just call back in the cadence. Chuckling because, you know, I got my little jotter over here.
It's so professional.
I know. My husband was like, you got a jotter. I'm like, I know. I'm like, I love this little thing. I'm always writing down my notes. But however you do it, it's fine.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, I love what you said, Melissa, and really just to sum it up, it is set your goals. Make sure they're smart, right?
Yep.
And make a plan of action. Make a plan. Do some investigating. Find out what you need to do. And 3, find your tribe. Find those people that are going to hold you accountable and help you be successful and keep going with you and see you through to the end.
Be an 8%er.
Be an 8%er. In fact, it's my goal to increase that percent.
There you go.
What we want to do is turn those numbers around. We want 90, I'd love to see 100% people be successful, but if we can turn it around to 92% successful and only 8% not successful, that's my big goal.
And for everybody listening, we want to help you do exactly that.
And you can connect with us. Just visit us at ivedecided.org. You need a business coach, or if you just need any kind of coach to get you on the right track, Melissa Cadence 22, you are a rock star. You are awesome. I know you've helped me with I've Decided tremendously. You can find her on our resource page at ivedecided.org. And I hope you enjoyed this show. There's going to be more of this to come. We are going to be giving you great content. Please like us, share, let everybody know to listen. Coach Mark, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
So excited to have a buddy.
Yay!
Thanks for having me, Kim.
And Melissa, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Awesome. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everybody, and we'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?